I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The reviews are in, and most give thumbs down on the Copenhagen Climate Summit. The critics include Britain's Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, called the non-binding agreement at best flawed, at worst chaotic. His government accused China of blocking major agreements. China responded that it's already doing a lot to deal with global warming. One of the more positive assessments of the summit came from its Danish hosts. They called it better than nothing. The World's environment editor, Peter Thompson, is back from Copenhagen. Better than nothing, Peter? Is that the best that can be said?
Well, even President Obama, who was the catalyst in brokering this agreement, said that it was insufficient, far insufficient to meet the task and really just a first step. So there really is a sense, even from those who made the final agreement happen, that it's far less than we need, far less than they hoped for.
Now, you mentioned one thing that was actually put back into the final draft of the agreement that you had not heard until actually today, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this document has been in place since well into last week. And even over the weekend, I was looking at what I thought was the final version of it. And then this morning, I come in and I look at the UNFCCC's, the UN's official final version, and it's got an interesting number back in there that had not been in there over the weekend.
And what is that?
That is 1.5 degrees Celsius. It says at the top of this document that we recognize that the science says that we should try to keep global temperatures under a rise of 2 degrees Celsius as the threshold for dangerous climate change. At the end of the document, previous versions had said we should reassess that in a bit and maybe think about 1.5. That was out of what I thought was the final version. Now it's back in. The final version says that we should look in the future to come back and look at this temperature threshold of a 1.5 degree rise. And that's really crucial because a lot of the least developed countries, the countries that are most vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, are saying we have to hold global temperatures to a 1.5 degree rise. And they were some of the ones who were most critical of this accord. So that's back in, and that's interesting.
And half a degree Celsius would make a huge difference for countries that are low-lying like Vanuatu and Tuvalu, who are facing sea rises.
Sure. I mean, nobody knows exactly what it's going to mean, but certainly, I mean, even that what sounds like a small difference, half a degree Celsius, could be life and death.
Now, top British officials used words like chaotic and farcical even to describe the talks in Copenhagen. How did it feel for you on the conference floor?
Well, sure as heck chaotic. I mean, all week long, I arrived on Monday, and from the get-go, when it took me 6 hours just to get into the building, and I was lucky. There were colleagues of mine, journalists accredited, who sat in line for 10 hours outdoors and did not get in, to Friday when talks seemed on the verge of collapse. We had all this back and forth between Obama and Premier Wen of China. Nobody knew what was going to come out of it. And then finally, at about 9 o'clock in the evening, after the official program was supposed to have finished by noon, we have word that Obama has brokered this deal, and we hear about how it happened. We hear that maybe he burst into this meeting of China and Brazil and India, or maybe he was invited. Nobody really knows. And all of that is sort of off the official program. The official program is supposed to be 192 countries negotiating stuff together. And what we have actually is like the world's biggest players going off into a back room someplace and hammering something out. And ultimately getting this agreement between the two biggest players, which are the U.S. and China, which had seemed totally out of reach just hours before.
It does seem kind of crazy there on the floor. One thing that, you know, we might have forgotten in all of the discussion of the treaty and agreements is that there was kind of a trade show quality to this, with a lot of green activists and people selling stuff on the sides, and countries having their booths in a convention center.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was actually selling stuff per se, but there was a whole section that was devoted to NGOs and business and countries to sort of promote their position and their technology. It really did have a trade show feel to it. And then, of course, there were the country delegation offices, which were off on a whole other side of the building. And an interesting thing is that every country had one office for their delegation, except for the United States, which had two. And this really came back to the crux of the problem, to a large degree, was the split between our administration and our Congress. The administration has certain goals. Congress has been reluctant to go along with them.
And you literally mean Congress had a booth and the White House had a booth?
Yeah, they weren't booths. They were offices.
I see.
They were delegation offices. And that was something that a lot of people remarked on. Yeah.
So the key question is, what happens next, Peter? There are talks slated for Bonn in Germany next summer, then again in Mexico City a year from now. What are the goals?
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on here, and the talks in Bonn and Mexico City are part of this official Kyoto UN Framework Convention on Climate Change process that continues, even though this document did not actually have sort of the force of their stamp of approval coming out of that. They will attempt, you know, to continue the dialogue, move things forward. But there are important things that are going to happen before then. One is that this document, the Copenhagen Accord, has this annex that countries have to submit their national plans for emissions reductions by January 31st of 2010, just a month, a little more than a month from now. And that's a key thing that the U.S. got these countries to agree to, China and India in particular, was to put on paper for the rest of the world to see these are the things to which we are committing. That has to be done by January 31st. That's very important. It's important in part because it's going to pressure the Senate. And part of a lot of what was going on here was an effort to essentially assuage the concerns of the Senate that China and India were not going to commit to real reductions in their emissions and to oversight. There's also provision in here for oversight of those developing countries, those large developing countries' economies. And that is also starting to be in progress. So this is in some ways all aimed at the Senate in Washington. And John Kerry has promised coming out of this meeting that he will push through a bill in Washington to commit the U.S. to hard targets for carbon reductions. So we have the official Copenhagen UN process. We have the U.S. process in Washington. Those are on different tracks, but they have to converge. And that's kind of what people are hoping will come out of this, is that Obama has somehow managed to put it on a track for those two to converge. And only then do we really get progress.
We'll see where those two tracks end up. The World's Environment editor, Peter Thompson, just back from Copenhagen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco.